last week we began a 5-week preaching series called Compass, guided by our past facing toward our future. As we talked about last week, this series is based on our church's vision statement, which outlines 4 core values that summarize who our church is. Those 4 values work off of the first 4 letters of the 4 words that make up the name of our church, Old South Union Church, OSUC. You will hear us saying this a lot over the next few weeks because our goal is that by the end of this series, you will be able to rattle off these values as quickly as we can. So let's see if we can at least get the O, which is what we're focusing on today. So at Old South Union Church, does anyone remember what the O is? We are open and welcoming. Excellent. All right, so at Old South Union Church, we are open and welcoming. We're going to focus on that today, and then we will focus on the other values over the next few weeks. The values of being shaped by the teachings of Jesus, being united in God's love, and being committed to service. Now, for our scripture reading today, we are turning to the letter to the Hebrews. We don't know exactly who wrote this letter, or when it was written, or even for which church community it was written. In fact, we shouldn't even call it a letter. It's more of a sermon, really. And our reading today comes from the last chapter of the book, the end of the sermon, if you will, where the writer of Hebrews outlines a set of ethical teachings, a list of do's and don'ts that provide some guidance about how to live as a community of faith. The author outlines practices that set Christian communities apart from the world around us. Now, earlier in Hebrews, the author uses the image of the Christian life as a race. So you might think of our reading today as laying out the trail markers that keep us on the path during that race. Now, you will notice our displays up on the chancel today are hiking-themed, journey-themed, and have some markers as well. Each week, there will be a different display up here that connects with the value or the scripture reading for that week. Our worship arts team is hard at work on this. But hopefully, you will notice that things on this side of the pulpit, so on your right, are older things. So we have an older-looking map, an older-looking globe, and some older-looking sandals and a walking stick and signs. And then over on this side, on your left, we have some newer looking items. Things are a little bit more colorful, some more modern backpack boots, walking sticks, and signs. So up here each week, we will be reminded of how we are guided by our past and we are looking toward our future with each one of our values. Now, for the reading today, with these trail markers along the way of the Christian life, the Christian race, the first mark, which forms the foundation for all the rest, is love. And love has 2 dimensions, of course. There's the love we have for the people who are already a part of our community, and there is the love that we are called to offer to every stranger we meet along the way. A second mark of the trail is to show care for others, especially when they are struggling. A third mark is fidelity. We should honor marriage and we should be faithful to our marriage covenants. Now, the author of Hebrews has a word of judgment for those who are not faithful to their partners, and that judgment can sound particularly harsh to us today. But keep in mind that from the author's point of view, what he's trying to say is that infidelity is not a private matter. It weakens the bonds within the community and makes it harder to be church. It chips away at the foundation of Christian community, which is love. So then the fourth mark of the trail is contentment with what we have. We should not put the love of money before the love of God or our care for each other. So in our reading today, it is clear that the writer cares deeply about church, and he wants to offer some guidance on ways to live that will strengthen the bonds among us. So let's see what he has to say as we listen now for the word of God in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We need each other. And yet, so often, we live as if we are just fine on our own. Reverend Nadia Bulls-Weber learned that the hard way. She learned what can happen when we try to go it alone, when we forget that we need each other. Nadia is a Lutheran pastor who is best known for starting a church in Denver, Colorado, called House for All Sinners and Saints. A few years ago, she had the opportunity to go on a tour of the Holy Land with some other members of her denomination. A Lutheran pastor on a trip with 20 other Lutherans, it seemed perfect, right? But Nadia admits that she can be something of a loner. She is fiercely independent. So she was more than a little nervous about how she would survive in such close quarters with what she came to refer to as the super nice Lutherans from Wisconsin. So she came up with a strategy that might seem a little surprising for a pastor, but remember, she is something of a loner, fiercely independent. So she decided that she was going to do everything that she could to keep her distance from the super nice Lutherans. She wasn't going to get too close to anyone or engage in conversation with anyone, and she certainly was not going to ask anyone to see pictures of their grandchildren. She kept to herself. And the plan worked really well until about 5 days into the trip when the group went on a trek from Bethlehem to Jericho. Now, since Nadia hadn't made a connection with anyone else in the group, no one knew that she had a horrible fear of driving on mountain roads, a fear that was an actual diagnosed anxiety disorder. Now, you need to know that the journey from Bethlehem to Jericho involves a road so steep that it wouldn't actually be legal in the United States. And on that road are a huge number of hairpin turns and a surprising lack of guardrails. So Nadia was thrust into what for her was a nightmare situation. On the trip from Bethlehem to Jericho, she says that she only survived by going back and forth between praying and cursing. But the bus made it to Jericho. Nadia made it to Jericho. But once the bus came to a halt, she realized something. She realized she was going to spend the remainder of the day worrying about the trip back to Bethlehem, a trip that would once again trigger her fear of driving on mountain roads, and this time it would be even worse because the journey would be at night. She was desperate. So she came up with another plan. She went around to each person in her group, and she asked them if they had any anxiety medication she might borrow. Now, mind you, that was the first time that she had spoken with most of the people who were part of her tour group. She asked everyone, but no one had anything to offer her. So she did what she knew how to do. She figured she would get through it on her own. The rest of the tour group went on an outing, but Nadia spent the day in Jericho by herself. She met back up with the group when it was time to get back on the bus. And the trip back to Bethlehem, it started out fine until they were about 10 minutes out of Jericho when the bus violently stopped and everyone jerked forward and hit the seat in front of them. The bus had failed to make one of those hairpin turns. The driver tried to get the bus to ease forward carefully, but it lurched back instead. And the driver opened the door and looked out, and suddenly he yelled, "Leave your stuff and get out!" And that is when Nadia started to panic. If you suffer from anxiety or from panic attacks, you know this. Her vision blurred. She couldn't catch her breath. She ran out of the bus and she found a patch of concrete on the side of the road where she collapsed on the ground and she curled into a ball and she started crying hysterically as she rocked back and forth. That pastor who was convinced that she didn't need anything from anyone was there having a full-blown panic attack in front of all of those super nice Lutherans from Wisconsin. And she felt completely alone. But then one of the women in the group, named Sharon, came and put her hands on Nadia's shoulders and said to her over and over again, "It's okay, you're all right, I'm here. It's okay, you're all right, I'm here." And Sharon stayed right with her while the bus was fixed and put back on the road. And as the group got ready to board the bus again, Sharon turned to the tour director and she said, "We are not making Nadia get back on that bus." So Sharon and the tour guide flagged down the first car that they saw and asked two strangers, two Palestinian men, to take Nadia back up the road to Bethlehem. And they did. The next morning, when Nadia saw Sharon and her husband walk into the dining room for breakfast, she waved them over and invited them to sit with her. And she asked to see pictures of their grandchildren. That day on the road from Jericho to Bethlehem, Nadia came to realize that we need each other. And even more importantly, she came to realize that we just never know when people who seem like strangers might actually turn out to be angels in disguise. Now, Old South Union Church has long been a congregation that offers extravagant hospitality. From worship in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings to youth group in the basement on Sunday nights, from our midweek preschool program to weekend pop-up pantries, from the Boy Scouts to the Fine Arts Corral, from AA meetings to NA meetings, from the Walk for Hope and Recovery to the Open Table, again and again and again, we open the doors of our church and welcome in people who are both friends and strangers. Weddings, funerals, baptisms, communion, all are welcome here at Old South. We say it at the start of every worship service, don't we? Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we mean it. We mean it, no matter your age or the color of your skin, no matter how much money you have or who you love, no matter if you feel like you have your life together or if you are floundering to get through each day, no matter whether church is your thing or you're trying to see if it's your thing, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. I can't imagine a time when that wide welcome will ever change. It's just part of our church's DNA, and that is an incredibly beautiful thing. So the challenge for us isn't whether we want to be open and welcoming, it is who we are. The challenge instead is to make sure that we don't miss one single angel that God might send our way. So today and every day, here and everywhere we go on our journeys, let us never, never neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, we might just entertain angels without even knowing it. There might be someone out there who is just waiting to show you pictures of their grandchildren.